Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Tonight's production is Meredith Finds Her Voice, written by Joe Graceffo and directed by Scratched Up Radio Theater. And a new short play written and directed by Jim Dowling, Yard Sale. And now, Meredith Finds Her Voice by Joe Graceffo. The setting of the play is London in mid-December 1965. Felicia Fitzwilliam and Alison Larch are 17. Alison's mother, Meredith, 40-something, embarked on a journey of personal discovery to San Francisco.
I think it's so groovy now that people are finally getting together.
What is that? Mummy's new music.
Are they hippies? I'm not sure I approve.
The beets, I think.
Beets as in vegetables?
Roots.
Hmm.
Dearest chum, the bulbous red things you're referring to are roots, not vegetables.
Sweetest friend, I'm talking about the people.
Red people? Communists?
I'm afraid I'm quite confused. Has your mother been cavorting with farmers? Or off overthrowing democratically elected governments with an eye towards a massive redistribution of wealth?
Ciao, Bella Felicia. Hello, dubious daughter.
Hello, Mummy.
Hello, Mrs. Larch.
Felicia, darling, I thought we went over this. You don't have to curtsy whenever you greet me.
Oh, pardon. How is your Italian sojourn? Please give my regards to the Red Brigade on your next encounter.
Alison, obedient daughter, has your curious friend been rummaging around Mummy's medicine cabinet?
Oh, no, certainly not.
Mother's little helpers are for my nerves, not to be gobbled indiscriminately.
Mrs. Larch, I can assure you...
Dearest girl, if your faculties are not addled by psychopharmaceuticals, then why libel me with such an inference? A communist, really? I don't even enjoy sharing, much less actually parting with something that's mine.
Mummy, why not just tell Felicia about your vacation? You've allowed her imagination to run wild.
Never a good thing. That's how we got caught up in the whole purloined doggy mess.
Pardon? My carefully plotted reconnaissance mission didn't anticipate you drinking yourself under the table with those American businessmen.
Is that where I ended up?
Figuratively, yes. Literally, no.
Frankly, the whole episode's still a blur. I did provide a soupçon of innovation. For that, you're welcome.
Mummy, your vacation.
I don't think I want to share. If little Miss Litigator over there insists on parsing my every action and calling its integrity into question... Well, frankly, she's harshing my vibe.
What? What? I'm doing what?
Haven't you ever been mellow?
Haven't I what? Alison, help me.
Felicia, dearest, sweetest, most erudite chum in all the world, you better prepare yourself. Mummy's lexicon has taken on a few alliterative phrases.
Mrs. Larch...
Please, sunshine, do call me Mary.
She will not... Mummy was not in Italy.
I was in San Francisco.
Oh, my God, why?
At the time I departed, I honestly didn't know why. I just had to leave.
Why San Francisco?
Something was calling me there.
Did you meet some, gentle people there?
Why, yes, indeed. Gentle people that wore flowers in their hair.
Well, how glorious.
Oh, yes. How glorious. Mummy off in San Francisco, whilst I sat home with Daddy, moping about eating chicken pot pies.
Oh, dear.
The aspidistra nearly died for want of attention.
Alison, darling, I was only gone 3 weeks.
Well, you're going to have to make it up to Daddy. He's still not back to his cheery old self.
That's going to be a long row to hoe.
What does that mean?
A difficult, arduous task, or set of tasks. Alison, dearest, your mum's talking about a lengthy, demanding project.
Felicia, dearest, I wasn't asking for a literal translation of the idiom.
Oh, sorry.
Quite all right. Mummy, your statement alarms me.
Well, dearest daughter, And since apparently you two are inseparable, Felicia, my guru says that Harry and I need space.
Oh, joy! We're moving to a bigger house.
What?
That's stupendous!
Felicia, now I can finally buy a dog.
Dearest, I think you misunderstand.
No, Mummy. A dog needs more room to roam. And now, by golly, we'll have more space.
Mrs. Larch, are you contemplating a country estate or one of those large homes off Grosvenor Square?
No.
Are you also buying into a peerage?
Mummy, I should know that soon. If I'm to become Duchess of such and such, I'll need to print a completely new set of calling cards.
You carry calling cards? I've never seen them.
I can be discreet at times. As newly landed gentry, I feel it only stands to reason that my very best friend in all the world should be provided with her very own guest room.
Oh, joy. Thank you.
No. Whatever conveyance upon which you've arrived at your present conclusions, it must have switched rails unbeknownst to you. Oh, dear.
What ho?
Daddy! Why so glum?
Damned hard to keep associates on board lately, taking inscrutably long luncheons when they're really off somewhere on the West End auditioning for theater and musicals.
You hired actors, dear?
No, I hired barristers. They suddenly all think they're thespians.
The times, they are a-changin'.
Who said that?
Felicia did.
No, before her.
Nope. Just Felicia.
Mr. Larch, might I say that I am so excited.
Moi aussi, Daddy.
A peerage. How lovely.
Felicia, please, contain yourself. Really, Daddy, je suis tellement excitée.
Meredith, darling, what in God's name is she talking about, and why is she speaking French?
Votre Dieu est devenu duchesse.
Am I in the right house?
Yes, Daddy, though not for long.
I'm so happy. Lord and Lady Larch.
Why are you curtsying?
She does that.
I see, but why?
Oh, sir, I merely wish to pay deference as befits your title.
Daddy, Felicia is grateful, as am I.
I'm beginning to see that, but again, why?
For my guest room.
And while my chummiest chum in the whole world is far too modest to beg your further indulgence, I must insist upon my investiture as a lady. If I'm to have an attendant, Felicia must as well.
Oh, goody.
So, you want Felicia to move in with us?
Not here.
Oh, thank heaven.
Lord Larch, your new country estate.
Yes, Daddy. Mummy told us of your need for space, and I must tell you, Felicia and I are in complete concurrence.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Space euphemistically implies land, and if we are to be landed gentry, those which the hoi polloi would denigrate as nouveau riche.
A petite bourgeoisie.
Horrible. I hate the common folk.
Isn't it marvelous?
No.
Then, by God, we shall embrace all and sundry to which our peerage entitles us, and have servants.
I want two of them. One to dress me and another to undress me.
You shall have them.
This is madness.
Too much, Daddy. Felicia, darling, one servant.
No servants, no peerage, no country house. The only extra space that'll be taken is a flat in Earl's Court.
Where your father has graciously agreed to move.
At least on a temporary basis.
We're to attempt a tridal separation.
What?
Earl's Court? Allison, you can't live there.
She'll remain with her mother.
This is horrible. Just horrible.
Darling, your father and I need to negotiate at a distance.
Felicia, hold my hand.
I'm here.
I've gone from peerage to penury. And nobody seems to care.
I do.
Allison. I'm your mother, and I do care. Now please dry your tears and help me in the kitchen.
I'm not hungry.
Perhaps not, though my guru will be. He's coming to luncheon.
Your guru?
Oh, just delightful. I must stick around for that.
I'll get it. Dickie! Dickie! Thank heaven you could join us.
Why, cousin, you sounded so distraught over the phone. I had to see about the brouhaha.
Hello, erstwhile fiancé.
Oh, hello, Felicia. While I refute your premise, it is lovely to see you, as always.
Because we are in a bit of a sticky wicket.
More than a bit, my dear.
Up to our wellies.
Wellies.
It's not funny. You're laughing. Stop.
Oh, sorry.
Please, just tell me what's...
All right. There's no peerage, no country house, no servants.
No one to dress and undress me.
Pardon?
Instead, Daddy's taken a flat in Earl's Court while Mummy's invited her guru to luncheon.
Rally round.
It's time for luncheon.
Mummy, are we to sit before your guest arrives?
Please, everyone sit. I'll show him in.
Why, she's as giddy as a little schoolgirl.
How dare you? I was once a little schoolgirl. I was never giddy.
Neither was I. Was I? I'm sure I wasn't.
You're quite insulting, cousin.
I am so glad we called off the engagement.
There never was.
Dearest chum, you would be so miserable.
Miserable. Distraught. At loose ends. Married to a shoe designer in love with his auntie Meredith instead of basking in the lap of luxury at the country estate of my dearest, sweetest friend, Lady Alison Lodge.
I feel you've conflated a few of our adventures, though. Keep calm.
You're a bridge over troubled water.
Curious expression.
I have you.
You have me.
Yoo-hoo! All and sundry. Please say hello to Chip.
Hello.
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 Is that a chicken? I'm famished.
No, it's not a chicken. It's a red grouse. I flushed and shot it myself.
Yeah, far out.
Oxfordshire. An hour out, to be precise. Do you know it?
No way, man. I just think it's groovy that you shot our lunch.
Well, heavens, glad I could oblige.
Harry, darling, could you please carve the bird?
I'll need my knife.
Hey, storm the barricades while you're at it. No time like the present to smash the state.
What? Meredith, may I have a word?
Come. I'll grab the bird. Follow you into the kitchen. Let's not dawdle.
Is he safe? That's our daughter across the table.
He's perfectly harmless, just a bit eccentric. Amuse yourselves. We won't be a moment.
Eccentric? Eccentric? He's too young to be eccentric. I'm too young to be eccentric.
Well, he is. You'll just have to trust me.
Trust you? Really?
Yes, have some faith.
I'm a man of reason. I don't have faith. And I'm a lawyer. I don't trust anything I can't verify and present before a magistrate.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry, nothing. The man's certifiable.
Oh, really?
You've brought a lunatic into our home. Oh, excuse me, your home. I'm living in a dank flat above a chemist's in Earl's Court.
Harry's just sharpening the knife. We'll require a few more minutes.
Several
more minutes.
It's cool, man. Your nephew's totally grooving on my sandals.
They're breathtaking, Chip. Positively biblical.
Far out.
So, Chip, is that your given name?
It's the one I answer to.
A touche. And because I'm the curious sort, what is the name your parents gave you?
Christopher.
Oh, glorious. Winnie the Pooh. Mum used to read to me.
It's Christopher Hollingshead III.
Quite impressive.
I reject it, man.
I much prefer Chip.
Thank you, man.
Felicia, dearest, he thinks we're men.
Why did we bob our hair?
It was your idea.
It's the fashion.
I'm getting rid of those magazines.
Fine.
What's the rumpus?
Your magazines, cousin. have caused considerable confusion over who
and
what we are.
Dickie, your lackluster fealty to me aside, why would you sow such chaos in young, impressionable minds? Your cousin is quite upset with you.
Dude, what did you do?
I haven't the foggiest.
Chip thinks we're boys.
Far out.
See?
We bobbed our hair because your awful magazines told us to.
I didn't know you could read.
Despite my calm demeanor, I am seething.
Hey, mellow out. I can tell you're chicks.
You can?
Really? Truly?
Yeah, of course. And you're cute, too.
Me?
Or me?
Both.
Oh, no. Not a good idea. Undue debate is best to be avoided.
Though, if you had to choose...
I like you both equally.
Well put. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, what's up with lunch?
I don't know. It is taking a rather long time for Harry to carve that bird.
So, Dick, what say we smoke a fatty while we're waiting?
Oh, dear God.
What is that?
A blunt, babe. Bought a bag off the bellman at the Mayfair. Rolled it up this morning.
I could never put something that big in my mouth.
Please, hold my hand.
I'm here.
You're staying at the Mayfair. Very posh.
Yeah, whatever. Got a light, Dick?
Oh, no. Take that thing into the garden.
Right you are, cousin. No sense in alarming our host and hostess. Come on, Chip. I'll show you the way.
Are we ready to dine? Where's Dickie?
Where's Chip?
Why the crease up, chaps?
I have no idea. I just suddenly can't stop laughing.
Oh, Chip, you didn't.
Well, it's how I connect with my inner being.
But before luncheon?
Uh-huh. You know what they say. No time like the present.
He's a philosopher? I thought you said he was a guru.
Oh, stop it. Please, everyone, sit.
Mary, that bird looks delicious.
He calls you Mary?
Yes, he's very obliging that way.
I'm feeling like chocolate. Anyone else?
Where's he going?
In search of chocolate, I reckon. I'll fetch him.
Daddy, whatever took so long carving the bird?
Apparently I left some bird shot in the flesh before roasting it.
Given that it's made of lead, mightn't roasting it... Oh, I don't know. Poison our repast?
Doesn't matter to me, man. I'll still eat it.
No, Harry, can't we do something? He's our guest.
Your guest. I don't live here, remember?
I could go for Chinese, like pork balls or some kind of chow mein would be cool.
I found chocolate!
It'll rot your teeth, man.
Think, Felicia, think. There's a solution. It's within your grasp. Almost there. I've got it.
Whoa, you're kind of loud.
Your hotel.
The Savoy.
I thought you said the Mayfair.
Whatever.
Felicia, that's brilliant. They deliver food.
Okay. Though look, what happened to that guy with the chocolate?
And he's gone.
Oh, Daddy, whatever shall we do?
I should never have put my faith in a guru that lives off his grandfather's trust fund.
Just dawned on you, eh?
Daddy, be nice.
Oh, Mary, Dith. We're in a bit of a jam, aren't we?
I just needed time to consider.
Stop the world? I want to get off?
No, not as dire as all that.
They're very sweet.
Piffle.
I'll bet they'll snog. Just watch.
I'd rather not.
You're so squeamish.
Happy news! Your father's moving back in.
Oh, yippee. Ouch! You poked me. Why did you poke me?
I'm so happy for both of you. We're so happy for both of you.
Yes, truly. Welcome home, Daddy.
Hey, I forgot your name. Can you make me a cheeseburger?
Hey, no.
Well, okay then. I'm gonna have to go.
Bye.
Mommy, don't be so rude.
He can't even remember my name. My name is Meredith.
Hey, ma'am. What's with the volume?
Go.
Stupid restaurant, can't even get any damn chocolate. Guy eats it all.
All right, that's it.
Honey, we can't just push him out in that condition. I'll take him to his hotel, then collect my things at the flat.
Oh, Harry. Run along. Hurry home.
I dig your aura, man. Quite magnificent. Truly, man.
So I've been told.
Well, I suppose I'd better locate Dickie. Make sure he hasn't passed out somewhere inappropriate.
Kind of quiet.
Just you and me.
Just us.
Like in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Too quiet?
Oh, I don't know. It suits me.
Me too.
Though...
Yes, dearest chum?
The world awaits, doesn't it?
Scary thought.
Though, doesn't it?
Of course. You'll go with me?
Of course. Of course.
And then let's go.
You have been listening to Meredith Finds Her Voice, written by Joe Graceffo and directed by the Scratched Up Radio Theater. Our cast included Tanya Bergen-Stedman as Allison, Kiva Lowry as Felicia, Linda Reagan as Meredith, Jeremy Cummings as Dickie, Matt McDonald as Harry, and Bob Christensen as Chip. Next, we have a new play written and directed by Jim Dowling, Yard Sale.
Hey, look at this old radio. Wow, wow, I wonder if it works. That looks like a,
Anyone in charge here?
Me, I am. Everything you see is for sale, sir.
You? You're the head kahuna running the show here? How old are you, kid?
12. I'm earning spending money. We're going to Disneyland this summer.
So the folks, they're turning the little girl into an ambitious little entrepreneur, are they?
I guess.
You gotta love it. Capitalism at its best.
Okay.
Let's get to it then. The ad said something about a bomber jacket and yard flamingos.
The jacket's on the hanger behind you.
Ooh. What are you asking for it?
Whatever the price tag says, sir.
It says $25. What do you take?
$25, sir.
I can see what the tag says, young lady. I'm asking what you'll settle for. It's called dickering.
Dickering?
I get it. You're new at this, kid. But you just happen to be talking to a yard sale aficionado. Words of advice? Be flexible. Think of the tag as a starting point. Sure, you always start by aiming high, but in the end, you take what you can get. You hear what I'm saying?
I think so, sir.
How about $15? I'll slap 15 big ones on you right here, right now. Hot damn. Spending money for that fab trip to Disneyland, baby.
It's $25.
You hear anything I said? Got it right here, cold cash. You ever been on Pirates of the Caribbean? Incredible.
Yes, sir, I was listening. The jacket's like new, never been worn.
Won't get 20 for it unless the Fawn stops by.
The who?
Joke, kid. Okay, we'll come back to the jacket later. The flamingos. Where you got them stashed?
Behind the lawnmower. Follow me.
What are they going for?
Whatever the tag says.
Well, let's go have a look-see. Okay, now, before we take a gander at the tag, kid, I want us to both make some very telling observations. It's called appraising the merchandise. You see the beak on this one? Chipped. What we call an unsightly blemish. Bent legs on those two. We're looking at a depressing assemblage of avian sun-baked plastic. Most would call this junk, but today, yes, today, you're in luck. I happen to like this stuff.
They are old, from the 50s.
You got that right. Judging by the fragile and compromised condition of these birds, I'm going to hazard a wild guess on the price. Ready? $5 a piece or $30 for the whole set. Close?
They go as a set. $70.
That's absurd.
Dad says they're collector's items.
Well, Dad's got a screw loose. No way you'll come anywhere close to $70. I need to talk to the old man. Can you get him out here, please?
No, I told him I could do this on my own.
You did? Gutsy little gal, aren't you? Sorry, but I think you're in over your head this time. Get Dad.
He said to expect someone like you.
Oh, he did he? And tell me, what's someone like me?
Cheap. Someone who'll take advantage of a child. Dad calls them chiselers. You're a chiseler, aren't you?
That is a low blow. I'm just a guy looking for a good deal, that's all. A capitalist, just like you.
A what? I need to go. There's other people here.
Right, but...
Bye.
Hold on a sec, young lady.
Sorry, I have to go. It's getting busy.
I can see that. That bomber jacket. You say it's like new?
That's right.
Well, I'm going to take it. Yeah, and the flamingos, too.
That'll be $95.
I know. Here you go. And kid, Pirates of the Caribbean. You don't want to miss it.
You've been listening to Yard Sale, written and directed by Jim Dowling, featuring Kiva Lowry and Don Singrani. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. KKRN Community Radio is an all-volunteer station entirely dependent on donations and underwriting. We want to thank all of you who have helped us through the COVID-19 pandemic with your generous donations, while we have been unable to hold our usual community fundraising events. If you are able to donate now to help keep our great programming on the air, please go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button. Or if you prefer the old-fashioned method, send a check to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084. We wish all of you and all our listeners a safe and healthy year. From all of us at Scratched Up Radio Theater and KKRN Community Radio, I'm your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.
Saturday morning, 7 a.m., having us a garage sale again. We have one about once a year. We buy a bunch of shoes and we can sell it here. And everything's $1.95. If you stay long enough, you'll find something you like at the garage sale. The garage sale. The garage sale. There's plenty of people coming by. Hey, I think I know that guy. Isn't that Stoney? Wasn't he in jail? I think they let him out for the yard sale. And isn't that orange on the top of the hill? Is your house still buried in snow?
Yes.
There's Sonoma and there's Cape Val. There's 12 bikers from out of town. There's Cat Stevens, Trip and Trap. The Neppers, the Kinneys, and the Dylan fam. Lowry came up from Moscow and Jenna never left. The garage sale, the garage. Drink all the coffee, gotta make a fresh pot. The early bird asked, what do you got?